In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I would like to begin this morning by wishing all the fathers a very happy and blessed Father's Day. And it just so happens that today's gospel shows us what a father truly is. As we look around the world today, we see very few men who step up to the plate and are really counted as fathers. Very few are even counted as men. They have renounced that dignity that God has given to them. And mankind has sunken to the level that now men must stand up and apologize for the fact that they're men. That God has placed them as the head of a family is now something that they have to try to explain, try to apologize for. And we have come to this terrible degradation of fatherhood when we know for a fact that all fatherhood comes forth from God. We call God our Father. He has placed man at the head of his wife. He has placed this father as the head of his children. He commands them to obey him. And so many men, so many fathers have renounced this position of authority. They are ashamed of the fact that God has placed them as a head. And they have allowed their wives to usurp the position as head of the family. And that leaves them not as head of a family, not as the heart of a family, because that's the position of the wife, and she's not about to give up that position either. It leaves him beneath his children. He has now become the servant, the obedient servant to his wife and children. The head has become now the tail. Because he is a coward. Because he is not a man, he is not a father. And then we go to the other extreme when so many young men think, oh, you see, now I'm the head of the family, I'm so great. And they want to domineer, they want to become a dictator. They want to abuse that authority that God has placed them in. They either renounce it completely, or they abuse that authority that God has given them. In today's gospel, we see this ideal of fatherhood, this ideal of being just, of being merciful. For Christ points out to these scribes and Pharisees that he came not to destroy, but to save that which was lost. The true shepherd. He leaves the 99 in the desert and goes in search of that one that is lost. The true father, he goes after that child who needs his help. And far from punishing and destroying and wishing the destruction of this wayward child, the father is ready to go out, sacrifice even himself, his rest, his comfort, to go in search and to bring back that little lamb. And when he brings it back, he does not beat it as an example to the other 99. He has a celebration. He calls his friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me because that sheep that I had lost has now been found. And Christ says, even so it is in heaven. There is more rejoicing over that one sinner who repents, more so than over the 99 just who have no need of repentance. This is the love that God has for his children. This is the love that every father is to have for his family. He is the head. It is not something to be ashamed of. But it is something that he should be proud of, an honor, a privilege that has been given to him by God. But at the same time, he must remain humble. He must remain compassionate. He must be ready to forgive. He must be ready to do all he can to reinstate those in his charge back into right order. And this is what is so desperately needed in society today. This compassion. We try to bring our young men up in this attitude of compassion, and they go to one extreme or the other. We want our little boys to either be tyrants and little devils and tell them that's what a man does. He can eat, he can drink, he can swear and curse like the best of them. That's what it means to be a man. He can be as rough and tumble, he can get into bar fights, he can do all these things. You see, that's what makes a man. Or they take him to the other opposite extreme. And they want to make women out of their young men. Where they have no backbone. They will stand up for nothing. They will correct nothing. They will put nothing in order. They are complete wimps. And it doesn't matter, whenever society, the world tries to instruct our young men, they take them to one extreme or the other. And Christ is pointing out to us in today's gospel with this parable, this true medium, this true ideal of manhood, of fatherhood. Man is the head of his wife. That is why it is a shame for him, as St. Paul says, to wear his hair long. That is why he uncovers his head when he comes into church. He represents Christ. He is the head of this body. And as I pointed out to so many young ladies, just because he's the head doesn't mean that he's better. Not everybody can be the head. If everyone were the head, where would we be? We would have no arms, no legs, no feet, no hands, no heart. We must all cooperate. We must be that part that God has made us to be. The head must not be ashamed to be a head. But yet he must not become filled with his own pride and vanity, so that he begins to abuse it. In the education of our young men, it was constantly instilled upon them that they must be gentlemen. A gentleman is not a wimp. He is strong. He's virile. He's determined. And he acts as a man, he acts as a head, he is ready to lead. He's ready to direct, he's ready to govern, he's ready to discipline. He is truly a man, he is truly a head. But at the same time, he is gentle. He is just. He is fair. He is compassionate. He can rule and still be humble. He can govern and still be humble. He can lead and still be humble. And it is truly a difficult balance to maintain. But this is what gives such honor and glory to the title of Father. This is the standard that Christ holds out to every young man. This is the ideal. A father who is not afraid to stand up to his subjects and say, "You shall not do this." Just as Christ was not ashamed, he was not afraid to stand up to the scribes and Pharisees and say, "You are a brood of vipers, you are hypocrites, you are liars, you are deceivers, you are children of the devil." Even though he knew that it would cause them to hate him, to despise him, he could not deny the truth. And as their God, as their Father, it was his obligation to stand up and say, "This is wrong. Whatever the cost may be to me, I will denounce your evil ways." And at the same time, we see Christ able to denounce these evil ways and preach to the people, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not getting into heaven." At the same time, we see this justice. We see Christ with a compassionate heart, with his sacred heart bleeding for mankind, reaching out to the repentant sinner, ready to forgive him all, ready to reconcile him, to bring him back, to unite him once more to this mystical body, once more to the head. This is the perfect balance. This is what we, as young men, as fathers, are called upon to do, to live. Christ is our example. God our Father is our role model. He is the one that we must look up to in every moment of our lives. It is all very cute and novel for us to put those little bracelets on and say, "You know, what would Jesus do?" But unless it sinks deep within our hearts, within our conscience, becomes intimate with us, it's all vain. We become like so many who worship God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. Our young men must be taught to become this gentleman, to become Christ-like. Strong, but not proud, not vain. A leader, but not a usurper, not a dictator, not a tyrant, but one who is humble, one who is compassionate, one who loves. And our Lord makes it all so clear. He makes it all so simple. And yet we are afraid. Our young men are afraid. Our husbands are afraid of their wives. What will my wife say? What will she do? Is she going to divorce me? Is she going to take my children away from me? And they surrender that authority that God has given to them. And after they've surrendered it, what happens to these young men? They cease to be men. They become ashamed of themselves. And if they build up enough courage to try and reclaim that position that rightfully belongs to them, do you think the wife who has now taken that place is going to surrender it so easily? Is she going to give it back to him now that he's proven that he can't hold it? That she so easily took it from him? Where is the young man who is going to stand up and say, "This is what is right, and this is what I'm going to do. Let the chips fall where they may." I tell you that more women will respect such a man. Society will respect such a man. Even if they mock him and laugh at him, they will say, "At least This man does what he says. He has the courage of his convictions. He believes that God has created him a man. He has created him a father. He has created him a head. And he would rather die than hand that over and renounce that which God has placed in his charge. Because on judgment day, he will have to stand before God. And God will say to this young man, to this father, to this old man, whatever it may be, I placed you as head. I gave you authority to rule, to govern, to sanctify this family. What did you do with it? How did you use this authority, this power which I placed in your hands? And I can tell you that it will not satisfy his justice for such man to stand there before him and say, "But Lord, my wife wouldn't let me do that. My children wouldn't listen. I couldn't do anything." Do you think our Lord's going to buy it? He will give us the same condemnation that he gave to the scribes and Pharisees. "You hypocrites, you liars, you deceivers." The only thing that mattered, you were careless with. The greatest gift that I gave you, you squandered. You are worse than the prodigal son. For the prodigal son, after he had squandered his father's gifts, returned repentant. Returned humbled. And our young men do not return repentant. They do not return humbled. They are filled with more pride and vanity than before. They think it now is an honor. I can be Mr. Mom. And I can tell you that every Mr. Mom is a failure. He's a failure because he's not a father, and he's a failure because he's not a mother. He's nothing. He said, "But he can be friends with his children. His children really love him." God did not make him to be his children's best friend. And I can say the same for women, not to leave them out of the picture. They want to be the father. They want to be Mrs. Dad. They want to rule. They want to govern. But it is not in their nature to do it well. They are not just. They are not as open-minded. Their nature is not in that ruling and that governing. And despite whatever the modernists want to tell you, all the feminists want to say, a woman cannot rule a family as the head, as well as her husband can do. Despite all her husband's faults and failings, he is still the head that God has placed there. And that doesn't mean that the woman is any less, because the body still needs a heart. She has to be there to complete the man. The man was incomplete all by himself. What good is it to rule and to judge if there's no subject? If there's no one there to back him up? If there's no one there to lend him support and aid? He is wasting his time. He's useless. He is sad. He feels alone. He loses courage. And so God did not just create Adam. But after He created Adam and saw what Adam needed, He created him a helpmate. And this wife is there to be that helpmate, to be that support, to be that strength, to balance the equation, if you will, to make perfect this man, so that he can love and he can reciprocate that which the heart brings to the head brings to the heart. And from this most beautiful union of head and heart comes forth the children. And the children can only be properly raised, properly educated, properly placed in this world and in eternity when the head acts as the head, when the heart acts as the heart, not as two fighting entities, but as two separate entities that have united and have become one. They are now no longer two flesh, but one flesh, one body. One is the head, the other is the heart. They both sacrifice for each other. They both strive for the same goals. And the primary goal that they should be striving for is this eternal happiness in heaven. The head's goal is not just to get the head into heaven, but to bring the whole body into heaven. That is the Father's job. That is why He made Him a Father. And it has already been prophesied that in the end times, there's going to be such disorder that everyone will refuse to obey that head. The children will rise up against their own father. And fathers themselves will begin to renounce their authority. That which God has created and made so holy and so sacred, the different sexes will begin to become confused. Men will no longer know how to act as men, and women will no longer know how to act as women. Children will no longer act as children. All of society is in turmoil, in chaos, this inversion of right order. And somewhere the buck has to stop. Someone has to take responsibility. Someone has to stand up and be counted. Someone has to have the courage of their conviction. And this someone must also have the grace of God, the virtue of their office, of their position. If we're going to change anything, or if we're going to at least save ourselves, our men have to stand up and be counted. They have to look to Christ and say, I am a man. This is what God has made me. He expects of me to be a man. This is what I must do. Not a child, not a woman, but a man. He expects me to be a head, a leader, a ruler, a governor, a sanctifier. It is my job to do everything within my power to bring not only myself, but for all those that God has given me to eternal happiness. and I cannot rest until I accomplish that goal, even if it means I must die trying. I have to leave the 99, I have to leave everything else in this world behind and go after that one thing, that one lost sheep. You notice the shepherd did not return until he found it. Only then could he rejoice. Only then could he find consolation. And so it must be with every father. Until he lives that life that God has called him to do, to live, something's missing, something's lost. And he must be ready to turn his back, leave everything else sitting, while he goes in search of that which is so necessary for him. That which is more important than everything else. That one lost sheep was more important to the shepherd than the 99 who were safe in the desert. Because that one lost sheep was entrusted to him by God. Our fatherhood, our manhood is that precious. It's more important than any career. It's more important than that our children should think we're their best friends. It is the most important thing because it is the position that God has given us. And it's not an easy position. We need help. That's why God has given us a wife, children, to assist us. We must ask their prayers. They have an obligation. Children have been obliged from the very beginning to pray to God for their parents, for their fathers, for their mothers. Wives have an obligation to pray for their husbands because it is a heavy yoke that God has placed upon their shoulders. And they can only manage it with everyone else's help. And these fathers too in turn must pray for their whole body. Not only for themselves as the head, but for their wives as their heart, and their children as the rest of that body, so that they can enter as one body, complete before God on Judgment Day, to enjoy an eternal happiness in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.